Let me tell you my position. Ready? You got 19 years for the education system to help the kid. Can't do it in 19 years. Somebody failed.
Uh-huh.
And we can't do anything about it.
Wow, that's a tough one there, huh? Welcome back to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, retired educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about social promotions in the public school system with our special guest, Dr. Bill Copeland. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Glad to be here.
All right. Would you mind taking a moment or so to kind of share your educational journey with our audience?
So I graduated BA from Johns Hopkins. Then I got my PhD from American University in International Relations. But early in my career, once I was a tenured full professor, decided to devote my full time to teaching. And I also mainly lower division courses. And then I created a major based on that has been very successful. And then I turned my attention to high schools because my course was offered in high schools, but also because I think the high schools are really an area of weakness in our educational system. So for the last 20, 30 years, I've been doing different kinds of things, like having my students go into schools and do skills exercises. My philosophy is purpose of education is to get skills, to do well and do good. And the way you do that is through experiences in the class or outside the class. So that's my shtick.
Okay. All right. You know, Bill, what we're getting into social promotions in the public school system, you know, you would think that in the year 2025 that we would have this kind of figured out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But at any rate, I need to ask you, how do you define social promotion? What do you think drives the decision-making process for promoting students who may not be academically ready to move on to the next grade?
Well, I have a written definition from Wikipedia that says social promotion is educational practice in which a student is promoted to the next grade at the end of a school year, regardless of whether or not they have mastered the necessary material or attended school consistently. Hmm. So they failed.
Yeah.
But they passed anyway. So that's right.
I don't get that. But do you think the decisions prioritize the needs of the student, you know, or are they more influenced by systemic pressures like class size or how much money the school's getting?
Well, the bottom line is that the learner is an individual who has his or her own characteristics. And by creating a school system, you automatically assume everybody can achieve the same level, mm-hmm. And they can't. Yeah. And so the answer is, well, fail them because they don't maintain the standards. And then they run into the problem of they can't fit in a second grader's chair.
Yeah.
If they keep failing. So the reality is, there is no choice but to have social promotion.
Mm-hmm.
The results statistically that non-repeaters drop out much more than people who are in social promotion, twice as much, according to an article written in 2005. And we know that all research is suspect, so we don't know if it can be generalized or what.
Yeah.
It's done because they got to keep maintaining the system regardless of the individual. And once students are treated as if they were a widget being made in a factory where all the standards have to be the same, you're going to have this. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with, like, maybe from kindergarten through fifth grade, if a child needs to be held back, maybe no more than one time, and then maybe during middle school, maybe one there, and then high school one. In other words, a max of three times during the school career. You know, are you for putting limits on how many times a person can be retained in the same grade?
My position is social promotion. You have to have social promotion. You have no choice. And the only place I would be in favor of making them repeated is if they can't read. And by the third grade, they can't read. I think they need to be held back a year.
Yeah.
I would say we don't know that could work for some and not for others. And all kinds of variables, like you mentioned at the beginning, could be caused that. I was talking to a student whose cousin they threatened to hold him back because basically he didn't like the teacher. So he wasn't performing, he wasn't paying attention, he was acting out. And the parents didn't want him to be retained. And so what happened was, by threatening it, the parents then got him some help, some tutoring. And I think this, well, I don't know what socioeconomic level of the parents were, so I don't know about that. But kid got in the next grade was fine.
Yeah.
And they think
yeah.
it was because of the teacher.
You know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Gosh.
You could say that the teacher was a bad teacher, but the kid he just rubbed the kid the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to fire the teacher. I'm not blaming the teacher. It's pretty simple. They have to want to learn first.
Yes.
And a lot of that behavior is they don't want to learn anything and they rather play, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So so it's a maturity level. So I would say I wouldn't be against it up to the fifth grade.
Okay. But how about middle school and or you don't think so? You mean to tell me? Okay. Well, I was just going to say.
Let me tell you my position. Ready? You got 19 years for the education system to help the kid. Can't do it in 19 years. Somebody failed, and we can't do anything about it.
Wow, that's a tough one there, huh? Well, let me ask you this then. What are some of the long-term implications for students who are socially promoted, you know, both academically and socially? You know, there's challenges with that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that there's so much, you can do all the research you want, but you won't have a comprehensive, systematic finding because there's such variation. It could hurt the student or not hurt the student, but I think retaining them more than once,
mm-hmm.
And as you get higher up, I think is not a good idea.
Okay, so you're talking for middle schoolers and high schoolers. You don't think retaining them would be okay?
No, I mean, you know, it depends on if you said it was reading and only reading, I would mm-hmm. maybe accept it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not accepting it on all the other stuff that's taught because you know, my view is most of the stuff that's taught is not worth punishing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in history. They don't like science. They can't. And the math beyond algebra one and arithmetic.
Yeah.
It should not be used to measure promotion. And, the argument, well, they won't do better at higher levels if you don't retain them. That's one of the arguments for retention. It's like, well, what do they learn at the higher level anyway? And my experience, I tell you, I was just reading a story of a football player who never learned to read, got in college, and actually kept his sort of reading manuals from elementary school. And he was doing pretty well in football, but he was failing. So he decided to at night, under the covers, practice the little things, and he's graduated. I know another example I have is I had a basketball player one time who I don't think he could really read. I don't know. He wasn't doing well. Mm-hmm. He came to class, but he wasn't doing well. Well, today he's an international mogul. His basketball got him to go to Italy, where he learned Italian. Okay. Yeah. And before I knew it, he's running an international business. Man, and you would never have thought this person was going to be. Huh? No, and so I think age, maturity. I was just reading Al Pacino's biography. Well, he never went to school. He hated it. It was stupid. And I don't think he graduated high school. But he just became in love with acting that he trained himself because of that. And he was reading all this high-level stuff. I don't think it had anything. Now, these are examples of people in very fortunate positions who ended up. So the assumption that you can create some system-wide process that will be successful is just wrong. And then there was the New York State twice rejected social promotion, and after 2 or 3 years, put it back in.
I say they found it didn't work, right?
It didn't work. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean social. I'm sorry. Yeah. Rejected social promotion. And they couldn't handle the economic consequences of that because they had more students at different levels than it would have otherwise. So I think it's been done in practice. It hasn't worked. Retention hasn't worked. And if you accept my view that there's such variation across individuals, Bill Gates has this article about didn't really like school, but started coding and figuring stuff out when he was like 12. Fortunately, he had parents that were wealthy, and he was in a situation where the schools recognized this. Well, and Einstein never graduated either, I think. So, okay, but these are the special people. But I just think, no, I think because of this you're having me look at social promotion, I have a firmer idea. You got 19 years. Let them go, whatever. Now, there is a problem with my theory of 19 years, which is the student has to come to school.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first requirement.
and I think students fail because they don't come to school. And so therefore they're not getting the 19 years of training, according to my theory. Yeah. Follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, that's a tough one there. That's where I think parents or caregivers really need to be involved too. And all that. But now this leads me to, you'll find critics argue, Bill, that social promotion can dilute academic standards, if you just arbitrarily pass the kid on. On the flip side, like you were mentioning, retention can also have negative impact.
Yeah.
But how do you strike a balance between the two? You don't want to retain somebody, but you just don't want to arbitrarily send somebody on up when you know in their heart they're not ready. We're like setting them up for failure, right?
Well, you know that I think the curriculum is wrong and the cause of many, many problems. And it's cause this. So they don't perform at what level? I think they're, okay, what would I do? I would have vocational stuff going on in kindergarten all the way up. Not vocation. Well, also, by the way, vocational programs work.
Uh-huh.
They don't have as many dropouts, and they have success. And academic programs don't work. So what's the answer? Well, let's put some vocational things in with the academic so the students would be motivated. And this article I was reading today is the reason this guy started learning to read when he was in like a junior in college, he wanted to be on the football team. He wanted to play football. And he said to himself, they're not going to let me play football unless I learn to read. So I'm going to learn to read. And so if you have some kind of lever on the kid, it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of wondering, like in kindergarten, I think it's a great idea to start real young. What type of vocational, I'm just kind of wondering what that course would look like or what that program of study would look like. That you could have a kindergartner or a first grader, you know.
Well, they would learn about automobiles and how they work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I think at some point in school, maybe there's a couple of tracks, you know, go this way. If you think you're college bound, go this way. If you want to work with your hand, you know, automotive, oh my God. Woodworking, welding, electrician, plumber. I mean, we need all those kinds of folks, you know.
Right. Exactly. But if you think of it, like, I like to think of it as the school system should be teaching life skills. Now, I know that has a very negative connotation with a lot of people, but it also goes with social promotion. And life skills is, how does a toilet work? I think an 8-year-old could figure out could be taught how a toilet works. And that's actually very important to know how your toilet works before it runs over and ruins your house.
Yeah, absolutely.
So these kinds of things would put it another way, the education is way too abstract. They're teaching too many abstractions.
We talked about this, I think, earlier on one of the other podcasts, but I know in my case, and I think you've said it, what we learned in school wasn't really relevant to the real world. I mean, it was only relevant inside those four walls. And here I am as a fourth, fifth grade student thinking, where am I ever going to learn this stuff? You know, So I think that's,
Also, if you could give them instruction on how a toilet works and they want to know how a toilet works. So then they want to read the instructions.
Yes.
And then they'll read the instructions and they'll learn how to read.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so, make learning relevant, make it partner to their lives, I think is
exactly
the thing here.
And that would hopefully reduce the need for retention.
I firmly believe there's more than just one thing that we have to do to get this social promotion thing under control. I think one of them would be having more PD development for teachers on how to differentiate their instruction that would help these kids. You know, maybe some tutoring factored in there, summer school, after school programs, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how you feel about this. Instead of setting up some kind of arbitrary timeline, like, if you're 9 years old, you got to be in third grade and all this other, why not do maybe shift towards mastery learning? If a child learned those skills, you know, then wouldn't he or she just pass them on? You know,
well, ideally that would be,
in other words, master based grading, as opposed to, you know, age based promotion. I don't know.
So here's what happened to me when I was for some reason I tested well. And so when I was going to middle school, they asked me if I wanted to go in middle school, junior high. And would I like to go to a school where I do 3 years and two? So I went to that school and I So I graduated at 16. And looking back, I think I could have failed out of high school because I was done with school by the time I got to high school. I didn't see any purpose to it whatsoever. Hmm. And so that was good for me that they put me ahead. But it socially, I do think it caused problems, you know, because I was younger than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think it caused problems. So there's no answer. There's no one answer.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that bothers me about mastery is what's the content going to be? Is it going to be algebra two? Then no. So that's another problem. Now if it were in life skills like basic reading, basic arithmetic, and then the ability to fix a toilet or whatever, read instructions and implement it. Rather than read a literary criticism of Shakespeare, because I think these kids are turned off, and it's a class thing too, where you know the if you get a lot of money, if socioeconomic class is high, first of all your parents are going to make you do it, and you can handle it, but if you're not, they're at a tremendous disadvantage for no reason at all. So but I don't want to keep harping on the curriculum because I do look all the time. but the mastery, if you have certain, because if we follow your argument, then all they should have to do is take the 12th grade graduation tests, because that would prove mastery. And whenever they can take those tests and pass them, they should go on to college. But you probably wouldn't accept that. So, and the reason you wouldn't accept it is, and this is a big flaw, the tests don't measure anything other than the ability to do the test.
Yeah, yeah, recall information, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I always loved the hands-on test, you know, if they could actually, like, you know, actually build something or whatever. That way you could, you know, either the thing works or it doesn't work, if you know, whatever. But any rate, social promotion can affect not just the promoted student, right, Bill, but their peers, teachers, and even the whole school culture. Well, how do you see these ripple effects manifesting in public schools? You know, what do you think happens here?
Are you a new teacher struggling to connect with your students? Do you feel like your lessons just aren't sparking motivation or engagement? Maybe you're wondering how to build trust and create that positive classroom vibe you've always dreamed of. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't have to be this way. Introducing the Strong Bonds Teaching Program, a system designed to help you build meaningful, supportive relationships with your students in just 4 weeks or less. This isn't just about feeling good. It's about creating a classroom where students want to learn and thrive because they know you truly care. With step-by-step guidance, tools, and strategies, you'll go from feeling overwhelmed to confidently leading a classroom full of engaged, motivated learners. Enrollment is open now. Don't miss your chance to join a program that can transform your teaching and your students' success. Click the link below and let's get started building those strong bonds today.
I think it's a problem because it's devastating, because it's teaching kids, especially when they get to high school and figure out what's going on. And this kid who never came to class is now got promoted. and I've had students, ninth graders, tell me, I don't know. I said, what's the biggest problem with the school? I think I told you this, and it's knuckleheads. The biggest problem are my peers who are idiots. And disrupt the class, and then they said the reason my peers disrupt the class is they know they're going to pass anyway. So the kids know, and therefore, it does reduce the authority of the school to force students to do well, and that's a problem. With social promotion, but what's the alternative? I think the alternative is worse.
Well, yeah, that is something here. Well, let me, again, I have to ask you this, you know, from a policy perspective, okay, if you could change something or write some policy that would deal with this, what changes would you recommend to better address the root causes of social promotion? I mean, you know, what would you do?
Life skills as the main goal of K through 12, life skills, both professional job life skills like Excel, and other skills like how to get along with each other. And you know what, the K through 6 programs seem to do some of that. They don't do as much as I'd like, but they do some of that. But then when the kids start to get in middle school, from what I've heard and read, the biggest source of dropout is before the 9th grade. Well, 7th through 10th, but 8th and 9th. So something happens in middle schools that makes them, they like school, not all, until they get in middle school. And by the time they've finished middle school, they don't like school anymore, because the subject matters are more abstract, more the life of the mind than life. And I think that's the cause of dropout, is the students don't see the purpose and they can't master what is considered to be important, which I don't think is that important. Quadratic equations. Why do you have to learn that? I don't get that. Quadratic. I don't get that. But maybe there's something in it. I think the argument of the math people, well, it develops their ability to think. It develops their mind.
And problem-solving skills, yeah.
Yeah. but it's abstract problem-solving skills rather than how to fix a toilet, which is really problem-solving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Consequences.
Well, how about a policy change about, you know, early intervention, about hiring maybe more special ed teachers, you know? Hiring mental health professionals, more of those, you know, I've always looked at it like this, and I don't understand, you know, our policymakers, but you know, pay now or you pay later, you know, what I mean? Pay now or pay later. Are we going to have a whole society of the kids that can't read or do basic math or think, you know? So, I mean, that's, you know, and teachers have feel frustrated. I'm sure if you keep passing kids on, they feel frustrated. Their peers feel frustrated. And they probably, I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that the person who has been social promoted, their self-esteem gets lowered, I would think. You know, you're there with you're there with people who, you know, could, who've passed and done what they had to do, you know, so.
Especially those people are going to make sure the social promoted people know that they passed and they're really smart.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It makes them feel even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I would say if there were a lot of tangible blue collar type wealth skills that really everybody needs, like fixing a toilet or putting a nail on a wall and stuff like that, and the students had the ability to do that, but couldn't pass the more abstract academic things, I think they should be promoted. Because my mother said to me, you better not try to work with your hands because you'll starve. And so, of course, I wish I could work with my hands, but they tried and they made me do some metal work and stuff, but I couldn't do it. It was horrible.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Maybe they should have held me back. Right. But my point is that somebody can work with their hands and read directions and do that. That's important.
Yes, it is.
They can survive in life and they can actually make a lot of money. And they will develop these other skills while they're doing it.
Absolutely. I think we'll always probably need welders and plumbers and electricians and things like that, you know, woodworkers and stuff like pipe fitters, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I tell you, so I don't know. This is really an emotional topic for a lot of folks, you know,
I know.
Because you can look at two schools of thought and you know, and they may both make sense. You know, you send a kid who's not ready. Well, what are you saying about academic performance then? You know, but if you retain them, well, what about the social issues and things like that? So it's really a tough. Yeah.
I think one thing that should be very carefully done is when they start kindergarten, whether they start it, or if there's a date where they could go one way or the other, mm-hmm. and the child is showing not much strength, make them go later. Don't put them in earlier. But I don't know how much that is done. Mm-hmm. And that would avoid the social promotion thing. And
I think it's just going to be a multifaceted approach. I don't think, you know, it's almost like one of those three-legged or four-legged chair stools that you have.
Right.
You know, you got to have them all different things. I don't think just a one-size-fit-all kind of thing. It's going to probably involve a multiple, you know, approach to doing this. Well, Bill, what would be, you know, your biggest takeaway reference social promotions? What would you tell future teachers listening? What's your take on that?
I would hesitate to retain and err on the side of social promotion, especially after elementary school. I don't think there should be a prohibition against retention. I don't think, you know, it should be automatic. The problem is that it is the students are in a mass industrial system that has to have rules and they got too many students for not enough teachers and administrators and supporters. So, and you can't fix that. That can't get fixed. There's really no answer. I mean, you and I have been going back and forth. But to have abstract arguments over it, I think that's a waste of time. You got to have individuals need freedom, and their rate of development and their capacities vary. And if you try and force a system that's not very forgiving, mm-hmm. you're going to create more trouble than you would otherwise. But this isn't a very satisfying answer. I think you said it. It's really individual based. It's like in baseball. Do you have a right-hander facing a right-hander? Well, the statistics say yes, they should do that. But well, then the right-hander hits on a run. Then it didn't work out. Well, it's not a clear. There's not enough evidence to make a decision just based on what's his reading score? Well, second grade level. Well, he's going into the fourth, what are we going to do? The first thing we want to do is do remediation and have the capacity to do it. And the parents are a big player in this.
Yeah.
And so once you put them in the mix, it's really chaos. We have to put them in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want their kid held back, right?
Yeah. Right.
And they're going to fight it, which is why I think social promotion, would you say it dominates in the education system today, that there's more of that than there is retention?
I'd probably err on the side to say yes.
And I think
more so than retaining children, because my experience in the education world, you know, they really didn't. And you'd have principals say, no, you're not going to retain anybody.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll tell you, it's really something. Bill, let me ask you something. How could folks get in touch with you if they want to connect with you?
Well, BillCopeland.com has my website and my contact information, but they could also email me at WDCopeland, COPLIN, and they should, I'm free to talk. I'll email them. Love to discuss this stuff. I like to be a help.
Okay. Great. And we'll also go ahead and put it in the description box as well for them, okay, to have. And again, Bill, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today and talk about social promotions and having you back on the show again. I mean, this is really cool. But we really thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for having me and forcing me to learn more about this and pay more attention to it. So it helps build my experience, and that's what counts.
Well, we have come to the end of today's episode, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rock stars. Until then, thanks for listening.